Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is good, everyone? Welcome to KGW's 3-on-3 Blazers. My name is Orlando Sanchez. Jared Cowley on my right, Nate Hansen on my left, Max Barr on the ones and twos. Never a dull moment in Rip City. It seems like week to week we've always got something to talk about. But my big question is, Jared, are you okay, man?
Are you fine? Like, you're physically here, which is a good sign. You made it to work today. But
I was concerned about it.
I half expected a sick day coming from Jared today. If we didn't have a podcast today, he may have called in sick.
I've had some hours to process it. I think that the loss was whatever. It is what it is. They've lost a lot of games this season, but it was – Dame getting hurt, that just, it was like just one more, it was the straw that broke the camel's back, you know, pardon the cliche, but it's just how much more can this team take? And of all the bad things that could happen to this team, Damian Lillard getting injured is number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And so I think that when it first happened, I just immediately went to worst case scenario. I'm like, he's out for the season is over, that's it, I'm going to start, you know, focusing on college basketball, studying like mock drafts.
Whoa, wow. This is really the deep end here.
Getting the brackets ready.
He's about to go into college basketball in February, guys.
Yep.
But to Dame's credit, as he often does, you know, listening to his comments after the game gave me a little bit of hope, and I was able to sleep peacefully last night. So.
Wow.
How about you, Nate?
I'm doing fine. And actually, I want to take a moment to do something here. Max, I'm going to have to take my headset off. So if you can lower the mic so people don't hear the loud thud that's coming. You guys can do play-by-play.
Okay, so Nate has
I think I know what's coming.
He's going into a drawer right now.
Oh, he did.
Oh, man.
What are these?
He's brought
this
some goodies with him.
Cherry pie. And why? Because whenever so two Christmases ago, when the Blazers played on Christmas against the Utah Jazz, and I had high hopes going into that game. It had a wonderful holiday, and the Blazers laid an egg. The only thing that brought me peace and hope on Christmas Eve night was some cherry pie and vanilla ice cream. So Nate,
well, I didn't come through with the ice cream.
This is amazing.
What a thoughtful gesture.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know I'm a thoughtful guy here, man. I look out for my co-hosts here on the show, and Jared, I could feel. So there's some background to this too. Orlando and I knew Jared was not feeling great last night because Jared usually comes up with our questions as we talk about. Yep. And Jared sent us three, all of them completely demoralizing, and said he feels like he might have too much of a defeatist attitude to come up with some good questions for us today and ask for some help.
I think my message started with help! Exclamation point.
Yeah, something like that. It was an SOS. It was a cry for help,
dude,
coming from Jared.
I asked him about the Pelicans game on Wednesday, and he was so triggered about Zion getting calls.
Oh my! I didn't hear the wrath of this.
It wasn't that the calls had anything to do with the loss. I was just lamenting that 10 games into his career, he's already getting Shaq-level treatment.
Oh man, that sounds like some heat there.
Oh,
I can't wait for 5 years from now when Zion's getting even more calls and Jared's just gonna be throwing a fit on this pod, man.
So the Blazers lose back-to-back games, a huge loss to the Memphis Grizzlies. They're now five back in the loss column, trying to chase down the eighth seed in the Western Conference, hoping to clinch a playoff spot with 26 games left. Max, how'd you feel about the way the Blazers performed in the last two games heading into the All-Star break?
I felt okay. I think both of their opponents just outplayed them. And silver lining, you know, if Dame's going to get hurt, this is the perfect time for it.
Mm. Yeah.
Got the week off. Maybe it's not as severe as some think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got that time to rest. It could be pretty valuable. So we'll see. I don't think it's over, but it doesn't look good.
So he's obviously not participating in the three-point shooting contest and the All-Star games. He's still going to be performing. Is there word on that?
Yes, there is.
He has.
There
is.
He is still performing.
Chris Haynes tweeted that out.
Fantastic. That's great news.
Yeah. He's going to be in Chicago, and he's performing.
Everyone will be watching his movements on the stage.
Oh, 100%.
You know it, man. You know
how McElroy is holding up.
He should just show up in, like, a wheelchair or something and, like, just watch Rip City melt down on Twitter.
Stay tuned for an emergency podcast as we overanalyze.
On Saturday night. On Saturday night, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's got music to sell. He's got shoes to sell. He's got to be in Chicago for All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
Today he's supposed to get that MRI, and we'll hopefully find out a little more about how serious that groin injury really is. But to your point, Jared, as soon as it happened, it was like, oh, this sounds about right.
Yeah.
Like, this is the way this is going to end.
And in that game, too, exactly. Because it was the first time they had played Memphis this year. So the team they're trying to catch. Right. The games against Memphis matter or weighed a lot more heavily than the games against anyone else they're going to play the rest of the year.
Yep.
So it was finally the first time these two teams are meeting up, and not only are they going to lose the game, they lose their star player at the very end of it.
So that leads us into our first question. As you know how we do, we have three questions. There's three answers because there's three of us, and you can catch these on KGW.com. So question number one, Damian Lillard is hurt, and the Blazers are now five games back in the last column, in the loss column, for the final playoff spot in the West. Are the playoffs still possible? Who wants to take that one first?
I'll jump on it first. This was a Jared question, just for all the people listening. This was the one we let slide through his defeatist attitude here.
I loved this question, by the way.
It was. It was easily the best of the ones he sent, which is why we kept it. It was a good question.
That's faint praise.
What? That was not backhanded compliment at all. So the question is, are the playoffs still possible? Any hope they have remaining for the playoffs are completely on life support right now. And the only reason I even say life support and not say that they're dead is just because of the fact that they have Damian Lillard. And we're still unsure of how serious this injury is with him. For what it's worth, my takeaway from his post-game comments was he didn't seem too concerned that this was going to be something that would keep him out for an extended period of time, or for any games for that matter, because as Max mentioned, they get a week off before they have to play again. And so you have Damian Lillard. We've seen him carry this team already once this season for a two-week stretch, carry them to wins against the best teams in the NBA when that stretch and he scored 45 points per game. And if you want to look at it optimistically, all it would take is Memphis goes on a three-game losing streak, the Blazers simultaneously go on a three-game winning streak, and suddenly they're right back in the thick of it, and they play Memphis a couple more times the rest of the year to try to get even. Now, if you want to look at it realistically, the Grizzlies started the season 6-16. They're 22-10 since then. So they're 28-26 right now, five games up in the loss column. So even just, if you want to project out through the rest of the season, say Memphis just goes 500 the rest of the year, and they've been playing a lot better than that for 2 months now. But say they just go 500 the rest of the year. That puts them at a 42-40 record. The Blazers are currently 25-31 and have 26 games left. In order to match that 42-40, which I think is putting Memphis on the low end of where they may finish at the end of the year, the Blazers would have to go 17-9. The rest of the year. That seems too big of a hole. That's winning two-thirds of your games the rest of the season. That seems to me like too big of a hole for the Blazers to climb out of. But they do have Damian Lillard, so I'm always going to give them a very slim chance. I'm not calling them dead yet, but maybe give me one more week's worth of games after the All-Star break, and I will. But just because they have Damian Lillard and only because of that do I say they have a slim chance, it's going to be really tough sledding for them.
We were definitely thinking the same way in terms of how we opened up this answer, because that's my big disclaimer in all of that is Damian Lillard has to be healthy. If he's not healthy, it's a wrap. The season is over.
If he is going to miss any, like, a week or two's worth of games even, I agree. They're done.
Yeah, so if he's going to miss multiple games, it's a wrap for this season. But to your point, like, they still have Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
We've seen this story before, and hearing his post-game remarks is what gave me a little more hope than I probably should have realistically, and in just the way that he was talking. And looking at the schedule for the Blazers, it does ease up quite a bit for them. They've gone through the tough part of their schedule. Memphis's schedule is going to get tougher. My concern, though, is that the Pelicans' schedule is pretty easy as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if it comes down to a tiebreaker with the Pelicans, that might be where they're in trouble. But I'm not ready to put a fork in them yet. I think there is still meaningful basketball to be played. So buckle up. I think that this is going to come down to the final week or so of games, and I think the Blazers are going to be in the hunt for things. Jared, what says you?
Well, after Nate's math, I'm definitely going to need this cherry pie.
You can start digging in right now, buddy. We got a while to go on this podcast here.
Nobody wants to hear that. So I'm reminded of an episode of Friends.
Friends, not The Office. Okay.
Not The Office. It was, I don't remember what season it was. It was the episode after Ross cheated on Rachel.
Were they on a
break or not?
They were.
You know, that I guess that dictates whether you think he was cheating or not, but it's the breakup episode, and they're stuck in Rachel's apartment and they're hashing through all this. And at the end, Rachel decides that it's over, that they're going to break up. And Ross is devastated and he says, "How can this be over? How can this be over? This can't be over." And Rachel answers, "Then why is it?"
Oh, how many times have you seen this episode that you remember?
I don't know,
a couple
times.
Wow, that's impressive.
I remember that episode. But that's what it feels like. It's like, can this really be over? I mean, can this playoff, you know, chase really just after two games, you know, because I was feeling confident before these last two games, can it really be over? And it feels like it is. And so much of it is dependent on Damian Lillard, like you guys have said. And I'll push back a little bit. I mean, maybe we'll get the MRI results back and it'll be a grade one strain. It'll be, you know, the best possible news for the Blazers. But him speaking optimistically about what it was like when he went back into the locker room, that's Dame. You know, he never speaks pessimistically. And so I wouldn't expect him to say anything else. So I'm really interested. It takes a while to come back from a groin injury, even if it's a grade one strain. He said he thinks he'll be back right after the All-Star break. But even if it's that best case scenario, I still think he misses at least a week after the All-Star break because it takes a while to come back from that. I mean, you look at a lot of, you know, athletes who've had grade one, which is the best case scenario groin strains. A lot of times it's taken them 3 or 4 weeks to come back. And if it's a grade two strain, forget it. You know, he's out, if not the rest of the season, you know, most of the rest of the season. Also, they're 5 games back in the loss column. Hat tip to Matt Moore, who put this on Twitter yesterday, but he dug into the past 10 seasons. There's been one team in the past 10 seasons that has been that far back at the break and gone on to make the playoffs, and it was the Lakers in 2013. That's it, one team. Even the Blazers, when you think back to Nurk Fever in that season, they were 11 games under 500 at one point and came all the way back and made the playoffs. But at the All-Star break, when they were 10 games under 500, a worse record than the Blazers have now, they were only two games behind the Nuggets.
Wow.
So they were in a better position. This is – the Blazers haven't been here before. You know, we've talked about this. Like, this is what happens a lot of seasons with Dame is they you know, dig this hole and then Dame brings them back. But they haven't been this far back before. So it feels like it's over. If Dame is able to come back shortly after the All-Star break, there are a lot of reasons for optimism that still exist that have been there that we've talked about before. One, Dame is really good. The team could get Nurkic and Collins back. Memphis has the most difficult remaining schedule in the league. Portland has one of the easiest. The Blazers have two games left against the Grizzlies, and they're both at home. But I just think I'm not ready to commit hope to Damian Lillard being okay. Because if he can't come back, it's over. And the Blazers are 10 points per 100 possessions worse when he's not on the court than they are when he's on the court. They've had a negative rating when he's been off the court each of the past four seasons, and it's the worst it's been this season. The past four seasons, Lillard has missed 20 games, and in those games, the Blazers are 10-10. Even if they were able to go 500 without him, that's not good enough.
No.
Like you said, they have to make up ground. Really, really good after the All-Star break to make the playoffs.
17-9, though? Is that really that daunting to you guys?
With this, Lillard, they're 25-31 right now.
With Damian Lillard.
They're 25-31 right now. So, yeah, 17-9, yeah, like –
They went
9-7 in that stretch, not 17-9.
Or 7 of their last 11, right?
That's 7-4. That's great.
Yeah.
That's not 17-9. That's still going to keep you falling short if you go on that pace.
If Lillard comes back, if Nurk comes back and can contribute, even not even at the level he did last season, but just be an upgrade at those backup center minutes, if we can see more of the good engaged Hassan Whiteside than what we saw last night, if Zach Collins can come back, then yeah, I think especially with this schedule easing up, final 22 games, you've got 9 games against winning teams, 12 of those 22 are at home. So yes, I think they could make a run, but it's going to take all of those things falling into place perfectly. And they've never been this far back before. They've never dug themselves this big a hole.
I mean, I have the remaining part of their schedule in front of me, and as Jared was talking, I marked down the games that when I looked at them, I thought those are automatic L's for the Blazers. And you may disagree with some of them, but I tallied 7. So if that's 7 games that I think, and I'll tell you what they were. It was the first game after the All-Star break when they play New Orleans again. They haven't beaten them this year. I don't think that's a game they're going to win. They play Boston at home shortly after that. The Celtics are very good. They go on the road at Indiana. Yes, the Pacers are struggling right now, but Indiana's a better team. At Boston, a loss. At Philly, certainly a loss. They play Denver again, who they haven't beaten this year. They play Dallas again, who just ran them out of the Moda Center 2 weeks ago. So, like, to me, those are losses. And if I'm starting right now with saying if they do lose those 7 games, like, they're going to have to win games mm-hmm. that when we look at it, we'd be like, man, they'd be really hard-pressed to win those games in order to be 17-9 the rest of the year. And that's projecting Memphis. Like I said, they do have a difficult strength of schedule going down the way. That's just projecting that Memphis settles down from being 22-10 to 500 during this difficult stretch. Say the Grizzlies aren't 22-10, but say they play better than 500. Mm-hmm. It's over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, if the Grizzlies play better than 500, it's not going to matter what the Blazers do. Memphis will win. We'll get the 8 seed.
Dirk Fever was 18-8. And that was about as good as the Blazers could play. And they were only 2 games back of the Nuggets and came back to make the playoffs. They're just too far back right now, I think.
I'm more concerned about the other factors that you mentioned with Memphis having to take a step back.
Yeah.
Or hoping that it doesn't come down to a tiebreaker with the Pelicans or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned about those factors than I am the Blazers. I truly believe they're going to play well if Damian Lillard is back. I think we're going to see a fun run out of this team if Damian Lillard is back.
Yeah.
But you did mention something pretty interesting, and I think that goes right into question number 2. So all season we've talked about how the Blazers just need to stay close in the playoff race before reinforcements come back. How confident are you right now that reinforcements, a.k.a. Nurkic and Collins, will be back this season?
Jared, take us away on this one. Start us off.
I don't feel any differently about this. I think barring any further setbacks for either of these players, I think they'll both come back this season. I think it's a little less likely with Zach Collins, but I do expect them both to come back. If Lillard does come back after the All-Star break, this team will be pursuing the playoffs no matter what, and the plan will be to bring back Nurkic and Collins as soon as they are 100%. I think if Lillard can't play for a month or two or something, you know, worst-case scenario, and the season falls apart, I don't think that changes anything. I think there's still value in getting these guys back on the court. What we've heard from Neil Shea all this time is that Zach Collins and Yusuf Nurkic are the front court of the future for this team. But the problem that we have with those two is they've played so few minutes together. If you look at last season, they played 65 total minutes together, and that's over the course of a full season, that's nothing. And while they played together in those 65 minutes, the team's defense was elite, you know, 92 points per 100 possessions. But the offense was terrible. They only scored 95 points per 100 possessions. The season before that, Collins' rookie season, they only played 53 minutes together, and both the offense, 86 points per 100 possessions, and the defense, 114 points per 100 possessions, was terrible. So it's helpful. If these guys both come back, most likely, I think, they're both going to be coming off the bench, playing limited minutes. But that does allow the coaching staff to play them together and to see in a more controlled setting, maybe even in a playoff race, and with a larger sample size, what these two can do on the court together. And I think that no matter what happens the rest of the season, whether the Blazers are making that push towards the playoffs or it falls apart, I don't think that changes. And so I don't think this, what's happening right now, I don't think it affects whether those two come back or not. So I do expect them both to come back this season. And that's something for Blazers fans to look forward to.
Yeah, I agree with Jared. I think they'll both be back at some point this year. There was, I mean, the immediate, you saw some tweets immediately after Dame got hurt, like, don't bring Nurkic back, don't bring Collins back, rest everyone, come back, ready for next season, whatever. And that's fine if you believe that. I just strongly disagree with that, with the logic behind it. They'll both be back. Will they both be able to help? Will they be back in time and be able to play enough to help the Blazers in a postseason push, which, especially with Nurkic, I think was kind of a vision that some of us have had.
Oh, yeah.
I doubt that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't heard anything about Nurkic. It's been real quiet on the Blazers' front ever since he strained that calf. I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if it's a bad thing. We've talked about before whether we were even supposed to know he was practicing or whether that just happened to slip out of Damian Lillard's mouth, and then it was like, oh, okay, yes, he is practicing now. So he may be practicing right now. We just have no idea. But he also may not be.
There has been reporting that he has not practiced since the calf strain.
So if he's not practicing, we had always talked about those first games after the All-Star break. He could be back. Well, guess what? We're here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to be any inkling that he's going to come back and play when they take on the Pelicans back here at the Moda Center after the All-Star break. But I do think we will see him at some point. The Blazers, not only to try and get him and Collins minutes and reps together, the Blazers want to get Nurkic over any mental hurdles, or at least start that process of getting over any mental hurdles he may have about being in NBA game action again. And you want him to do that, even if it is a lost season. You'd rather have him doing it then than next year when you're trying to once again be a top four or five team in the Western Conference and there's a lot more pressure on him. And so I think at some point, when he is ready, we will see Yusuf Nurkic, but it's not going to be as early as we had hoped. It probably won't be till March. And at that point, who knows how much longer the Blazers will have left in the season, maybe just a month.
Yeah.
And so it'll just be a dozen games we'll get to see him in. And Collins' timeline has always been pretty late in the season if he would come back. He was adamant that he wants to return this year a month or so ago. And I fully believe that he does, and I think that if he is healthy, he will also be back, because you mentioned just pairing him with Nurkic, just him as a starter, we've hardly seen him get any minutes as a starter. And so I think the Blazers just want to get him reps, get him minutes, once again, also just get his feet wet again before they go into the offseason, into next year, because next year the expectation is going to be that this team not only makes the playoffs, but is in the hunt to get home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. That's going to be the expectation. So there's going to be pressure on that team from day one, especially if they don't make the playoffs this year after just what a waste of this season has been for them. And so you want to ease Collins and Nurkic as much as possible. So if they're healthy and they're ready to go, yeah, you'll see them both at some point down the line here.
I agree with you, man.
Yeah.
You know, if they are ready, get them out there.
I agree.
Get those reps. My concern is they may not be ready. Mm-hmm. They may not be 100%.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned how quiet the Blazers have been about all this. I am so skeptical when it gets quiet in Portland.
I'm more worried. So which player are you more worried? Are you worried about both of them or Nurkic?
I have concern for both.
Okay.
I do. And
I mean, but the Blazers, that's the way they are with injuries. They're extremely quiet about it. And they've been this way since the beginning of the season and before the season with Nurkic saying there's not going to be a Nurkic watch. We're not going to answer questions about Nurkic.
But then they went on a social media campaign for a month, tweeting
all
these great things about him.
They also released a video of him practicing.
Yeah, they fed into, there's not going to be a Nurk watch, but there certainly was on their social media page for a month prior to him getting hurt again.
Right, they were just as excited as Blazers fans were.
Yeah.
And they wanted to share the progress that he was making, which is dope, which is great.
Great.
But usually when there's bad news or a setback or anything, they're way less reluctant to share that.
I haven't seen a video of him since.
Right.
He had this injury.
Right. And so I do think that Jusuf Nurkić is likely to come back this year. But when I heard the interview that Dwight James did with Neil Olshay, which is really the only time we've heard from Neil Olshay since the beginning of the season, basically.
Came out of the cave, yeah.
Yeah. Our once-a-year presser that we get with him. And him talking about Zach Collins, I got the vibe like, I wouldn't count on him coming back at all this year.
Okay.
And with him saying he needed to be 110%, and, you know, I think, what did he use the phrase, like issue-free or risk-free is what he said. He's not going to come back this season. So I'm a lot more skeptical on Zach. But with Jusuf, like, we've seen him. We've heard that he was doing full five-on-five stuff. Like, there's progress that's been made there with Zach, it's been a lot slower where we've seen him do like individual drills, one-on-one stuff pregame or post-practice or whatever. So they're on separate timelines, and I think Zach is still further behind even though Nurk had that setback, which is a bummer ultimately because that's what we had been talking about, was that was like the nugget of hope for this playoff push.
Yeah.
And if there's any type of doubt that is going to seep in, it's because of something like this, because this is something that me personally, I was hanging my hat on in terms of them making that push, was having somebody like Jusuf Nurkić who was going to make or have impactful minutes in games. Yeah. And now if they get him back, it's going to be more about testing the water and pushing his limits and seeing how far he can play and getting over those psychological and mental hurdles that await a guy that broke his leg on the court a year ago.
Yeah. I mean, the Blazers said that with Zach Collins that he'd be reevaluated in March.
Yeah.
We don't know if that's early March, mid-March, late March. I don't think that he'll be practicing before he's reevaluated.
No.
So even after he's reevaluated, even if they say, okay, everything looks good, let's start doing, you know, more basketball activities, get you into practice. I mean, how at that point the season could be nearly over. So
could be, but I still think even if it's just 2 weeks worth of games at the rest of the year and the season is completely lost, and I still think it's worth playing him.
Yeah.
Those 2 weeks, I think getting him reps and getting him minutes far outweighs the fact that the season is lost and over in terms of, you know, trying to make the playoffs. I think you need to get him minutes.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I was saying more, will he run out of time before he's 100%?
That's
exactly.
That's fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So it's the All-Star break, guys.
It is. We made it. We limped into it, guys.
Man.
Just like the Blazers did, man.
So we don't have, you know, picks for the upcoming week.
No, that's usually what we do for the third question.
There's no Damian Lillard in the All-Star game.
Can't talk about that.
Yeah, so I think this is great, and it allows us to put ourselves on blast over some of the ridiculousness that spews out of our mouths at times.
Yeah.
So
thank you, everyone, for listening to us throughout the year, because this is about – you're probably at this point over the next 10 minutes or so, you're going to be thinking, why do I listen to this podcast?
Yeah, dude.
These guys have no idea what they're talking about. So thank you for sticking with us this year, and please continue to stick with us.
Hopefully this is purely entertainment purposes at this point, because all credibility has gone out the window.
Yeah.
So,
if there was any for me, at least.
Did you put this question together, or was this you?
This was me.
So Nate put this question together. We are at the All-Star break, which is a period of evaluation and looking forward to the rest of the season. So let's do that here. What's the worst prediction you've made this year, Blazers or the NBA? What's one prediction you have for the Blazers the rest of the season?
So do we just want to focus on the worst predictions first before we focus on our Blazer prediction for the rest of the season?
We can tell you all how horribly we are and then make another
Make another prediction that will probably go terribly wrong. So I can start with this one, and I this one may take the cake out of all you all. It may take the cake of our podcast, any prediction ever made on this podcast in nearly three seasons we've been doing it. So in our preseason picks, what we do in the preseason is we pick who we think is going to win the championship, MVP. This year we happen to pick 1 through 8 in the Western Conference, how we thought was going to shake out before the year. And I know I at least went back and looked at that article that we posted 4 months ago, however long ago that was.
I took a gander as well.
Yes, I did.
There were some doozies in that one, but I don't think any of them tops this. Yours truly said your NBA champions for the 2019-2020 NBA season would be the Golden State Warriors. And that pick was so bad that it only took 1 week of the regular season for me to completely jump off that ship. Steph Curry hadn't even gotten hurt yet, and I had completely jumped from that one. I also said they were going to be the 2 seed going into the playoffs. So I don't know if you guys have any of them that top that one, but that's I have some really good runner-up and honorable mentions on my paper. We can go through that later, but that's easily my worst prediction. The Warriors, who will probably end up with the number one pick, are going to win the championship.
I don't know why I'm laughing because I have no, it's so bad.
They've won like 10 games this year.
I know,
year.
But I have no room to talk here. I made a lot of – you can actually, if you go to KGW.com and look at the 3-on-3 article today.
Yeah, it's actually in writing, by the way.
Yeah, like, I put a link to the preseason predictions.
Oh, so they go
so
back
you
and read
go
it
back
all.
And see
easily accessible.
How intelligent
for the people,
we all are.
For the people.
I made a lot of bad predictions at the start of the season. I picked Steph Curry to win MVP.
That was on my runner-up thing, yeah.
I picked CJ McCollum to exceed expectations. That certainly hasn't happened.
Yeah, well, that's not as bad as some other exceed expectation picks that were made that same article. We'll get to those. Keep going.
I think my worst prediction, though, is I forecast 54 wins and a second-place finish in the West for the Blazers.
I said,
not in that one, but in a different podcast around that time, I said the Blazers were definitely a championship contender. And it's weird because I look back, I try to put myself in that mindset again, looking back on this. I don't know how I was ever that optimistic about this team. I mean, obviously injuries have decimated this team, and that's the main reason they've been pretty bad this season. But looking at it now, I have to admit that even if the Blazers have been healthy, this roster from Hassan Whiteside to Mario Hezonja to Pau Gasol to Kent Bazemore to
Anthony Tolliver
was pretty flawed. And I did not see that at the start of the season. And I don't know how I ignored all the warning signs. But so
you're riding high from the Western Conference Finals, my man.
Absolutely what it was. I had under-predicted for the Blazers the past few seasons. And I was like, I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to believe in this team. Yeah. And then I did. And this happened. So I think 54 wins and a number 2 finish in the West. That was my worst prediction.
If they won every game, how many losses they have right now? 31.
31.
So if they won every game the rest of the year, they could get to, what, 51 wins? That would be.
So I can't even get
so
there
you can't
all.
Even get to 54 right now.
No. So, there were some doozies, man. the one good thing I saw in there that I wrote.
Well, wait, we're saying your good prediction? This
oh,
is
don't
not,
worry, because there's so
this
many.
This is not what we're doing.
Oh, this is my segue into just blasting.
So this is Orlando's trying to lay down the foundation that he's not a complete idiot, and so he's doing that first.
This shows you like how deep I had to go to find something good.
Okay.
Is what I'm doing here.
All right.
Is that I actually used the disclaimer, significant injuries in there, before predicting that the Blazers would win 48 games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to your point.
And that would have been on, like, the low end, probably, a preseason prediction.
I was the only one that was under 50 with the Blazers because I thought it was going to take them a while to gel together with all the new guys.
Yeah, well, it's still taking a while.
So that was, like, the one good thing I had going for me in that article. And then it all went downhill from there because I thought Stephen Curry would be the league MVP.
Well, that was a clean sweep across the board. At least that one, like, we didn't envision the Warriors being as bad as they were even prior to Steph getting hurt, but at least there was an injury that has heavily factored into that we can just be like, oh, he got hurt. That's the reason
why. We also thought with that roster he was going to average, you know, James
Harden
like
numbers. We thought he was going off.
Yeah. And that if he got him to the play, you guys thought if he got him to the playoffs, then, you know, that would get him some – a chance to win.
And I can at least laugh now because I really considered your Golden State Warriors pick, and that was without us ever talking about this. Like, I thought Steph was going to have just this incredible year. Most recently, in terms of hot mess predictions.
Oh, I think I know where this one's going.
I recently called Ariza and the Blazers the Zion Stoppers.
Oh, no. The Zion Stoppers.
Zion Williamson had the best game of his young NBA career against Portland.
Yes, I don't even think you said the Blazers. I think you just said Trevor Ariza. I think the Zion Stopper.
Ariza.
Yeah.
I also predicted that Kent Bazemore would exceed expectations this season.
I made that same prediction.
Have you even sold your house on Bazemore Island yet?
No, man, it's still there, man.
No one wants to buy it. It's like trying to trade Hassan Whiteside.
I'm like Neil Olshey on Bazemore Island right now, man. Like, no, I'm just going to wait and develop that home. It's going to be better.
Yeah.
Like, just come check it out. It's going to be all right.
Playing those $5 poker games.
So, I mean, all credibility out the window, thanks to you guys and our predictions on this podcast. It was a lot of hard work that went into this season to make these bad calls.
Max, do you recall any other bad predictions we haven't brought up yet?
I don't. I think you guys pretty much covered it.
Yeah.
I did make one good one.
I should have come prepared with a good one. I did it.
I a little bit. I said that the player who would not meet expectations on the Blazers was going to be Hassan Whiteside. And I wrote in there, I said that he was going to probably have good numbers. He was going to average a double-double, you know, 2 or 3 blocks per game, you know, play good interior defense. But because he'd have moments where he was lazy, where he didn't, you know, have good rotations, where, he worried more about blocking shots and getting the rebound than boxing out and playing good defense. And because Blazers fans would compare him to their memory of Yusuf Nurkic, that he would never really catch on with Blazers fans, and I think that's exactly what has happened this season.
Orlando, I was right with you on that Kent Bazemore would exceed expectations trade. That was my pick. I remember my pick for the player who would not live up to expectations was Zach Collins, and I get a N.A. on that one because we didn't get a C.
An incomplete, yeah.
Yeah,
that's been the story of Rip It as well, man, in terms of not play, man.
Yeah, and in terms of NBA-wide, I also said the Lakers would be the 6th seed in the Western Conference and when we picked 1 through 8, and that's a little off. I had considered them as low as 7 or 8.
We were scarred from what happened the year before with the Lakers because we had gone all in
with
before.
LeBron, man, and so he hurt us.
Yeah, we were just ahead of the curve on that one.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's make another prediction here.
What? We got to do this again?
What's your prediction?
My one prediction for the Blazers the rest of the season?
Yep.
Guys, despite the fact that I said they have to go 17-9. No, they're not making that's not my prediction. They're not making the playoffs.
No,
and that's not going to be my prediction. No, so it's been a while. Back at the beginning of the year when we were making these bold declarations we talked about earlier, I was tooting the horn of a young man named Anfernee Simons.
Oh, okay.
Jared was ripping him for not finishing layups at FanFest. I was trying to prop the guy up and say, hey, he's ready to go. He's ready to roll. And, you know, there's been some bumpy stretches here for young Anfernee.
So you're saying FanFest is predictive. Thank you.
I'm not saying that.
Nailed it.
Over the last six games, Anfernee Simons has averaged 10.5 points per game, including 22 last night against Memphis. My prediction the rest of the year is he's going to average double digits from here on out, the rest of the year, and he's going to reinstill hope to the Blazer fan base and enthusiasm for Simons. I think some of that has been lost here this year, partly because he has had his struggles, but also the team isn't winning. And so I think we've lost a lot of the enthusiasm we have for him. I think some of that's going to come back around here at the end of the year. He's going to finish strong, and he's going to set himself up nicely to be a 15-point-a-night guy off the bench next year.
That was actually my guy who would not fulfill.
It was. It was.
Because
you said,
the expectations
you
are
said too high.
Yeah. Yep.
Because of people like me.
Yep.
Well,
we never even saw the penny jersey.
People like you.
Oh, I have it. It's at home.
Let's
I brought cherry. So instead of cherry pie next week, I should bring my Anfernee jersey.
If he goes off,
exist.
Man. If he goes off.
He dropped he's not going to get the chance to go off because he's not in the slam dunk contest.
That's true.
No one knows who Anfernee Simons is outside of Portland.
He could be starting for the foreseeable future, depending on Lillard's injury.
Oh, yeah.
What's there for you, man?
Yeah, there's the double-digit scoring right there.
How about you? What do you got, Jared?
So my prediction is this. I think Damian Lillard and Jusuf Nurkić will both return this season. Ooh. Zach Collins will not. The Blazers will try to dig out of that hole, but they will miss the playoffs, mainly because the Grizzlies will keep winning.
There was a lot of predictions.
And with the lottery pick in the June
draft. Oh, man, we got more.
The Blazers will draft exciting Dayton forward Obi Toppin. Please go watch him. He's amazing.
There we go. Holy. I actually so
dude,
I,
you brought it on that.
Dude, that was like that was a not that was not singular prediction.
No,
that was like no, five predictions.
Did it say
credit,
a singular
man.
Prediction?
It said what is
one prediction.
What's one prediction you have
see,
for the Blazers?
I did
one
not do,
big
I did
prediction.
Not read well.
One
you nailed
big
it,
one.
Dude.
Yeah. So the guy Jared just mentioned, I didn't know he existed. I saw like a dunk the other night on Twitter. That looked dope.
Yeah.
So yeah, if sure, why not bring him on if he can do that on the regular.
He dunks, draft him.
Yeah.
Welcome
just,
to Portland.
Just go watch a Dayton game and watch Obi Toppin.
You guys know how I feel about the draft anyways. And
well,
that
since,
it's awesome.
Since
that's not how I feel.
Is no fun.
What?
My
what?
Prediction. Blazers make the playoffs.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Day there, of the regular
there is
season.
No way you believe. This is garbage.
That's right.
There's
Orlando
no-
bringing the optimism.
Yes.
I
he's
couldn't
so
even bring
fake.
The optimism
he's
today.
So fake right now. There's not a chance in
post-season
hell he believes
post-season in
this.
Rip City, baby.
There's no way he believes this.
You know what my frame of thinking was? I was like, my predictions earlier this year were so stupid and ridiculous. Can it really get any worse?
Yes.
So I'm all in, baby.
Yes, you can predict they make the playoffs.
Blazers. Playoffs. Book it.
I
so
love it, man.
You backed down from where you were like a month ago because we had some sort of prediction thing, and you said they were going to get like the sixth seed or the fifth seed.
Yeah, remember we had to like give a hot take or something.
Oh, yeah, a hot yeah. take. That was a listener yeah. question. That's
that was
right.
as steamy as
and,
it got
and
right
you
there,
said they were going to get the sixth seed. So now at least you've lowered your expectations to squeaking into the eight.
I got to be realistic, right?
But come on, man. There's no – okay, when we pick games the rest of the year and you're like, nope, that's a 1-3 week for the Blazers, I'm going to be like, really? They're going to make the playoffs, huh?
They've punished me for making those predictions, by the way.
Nate is so offended by this pick.
I'm more upset because there's –
The
know,
trigger meter.
I know, look,
meter.
I know my man Orlando. I know him. And there's no way he believes this.
Oh, I
there's
love
no
it.
Way he believes this.
Orlando, I believe you.
Thank you.
I think you're a
you,
man
Jared.
Of honor.
And I believe
wow.
in you, Jared.
Thank
oh,
you.
My
gosh. The one rip it win
guys
over there.
I'm watching Dayton.
Dayton. Aren't they ranked in like the top five or something like that?
Watch a Dayton game. I'm serious.
How? Where can I watch a Dayton game, Jared?
I don't know. Look it up on your TV.
Oh.
Do I have to do everything for you?
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Yeah, we have I think it's time to move on to a listener question.
What?
You've got mail.
Okay, yes, we should. I'm still not over this.
Oh, wait, before we get to that, really quick.
Oh, you faked him out again. This is the second week in a row.
Back-to-back weeks.
I just, our season predictions record, really.
Oh,
quick.
Jared's going to.
Last week, Nate was 4-1, and he did not make up any ground.
Well, I did on Orlando.
On Orlando,
you.
Yes. Orlando was 3-2 last week with his picks, and I was 4-1. So I am in the lead at 37-16. Orlando is 34-19, and Nate is 33-20. I just want to say those are all good records. We're pretty good at picking games. So there
yeah,
you go.
That's not too bad. Yeah. I think we've adjusted to what the Blazers have been
yeah.
this season fairly decently.
4-1 with those five games. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Jared only missed the Pelicans game, yep. and I only missed the Heat game.
Right.
I was telling Orlando that when the Heat, like, cut it to 5 in that first minute of the fourth quarter, I was just like, yes, let's go, Miami, come on. And then they couldn't do it for me.
All right, guys, we have one listener question this week before we get to rip it, and it's from our old friend Matthew, the Reverend Romulus. Ooh. It's actually from his daughter. She wants to know, should I request that the Blazers give me a free ticket to the 2000s night at the Moda Center since I was born in the 2000s? She also says, congrats to Nate on his many rip
oh,
wins.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank
we
you.
We could have stopped there.
Oh, yeah.
And she
oh.
says, to me, Max, we do listen to other podcasts besides 3-on-3, but I think the rest are all boring and annoying.
There you go.
Rever, oh, that's sweet
Matthew,
of you.
Matthew, your daughter, F is what we're calling her for this purposes. Thank you for the praise. And, yes, you should get a go to 2000
tonight
for free. Hey, they're playing the Detroit Pistons. And I don't know anyone in Portland who wants to see the Pistons right
yeah.
now. But you get to see the Blazers, and hopefully you get to see Damian Lillard. So, yes, you should get a free ticket to see the Blazers take on the Pistons. I believe the date of that game is February 23rd, their second game back after the All-Star break. Yes, so Blazers PR, you're not listening. But if you are, if one of you are on the marketing team, hit up Matthew at Reverend Romulus on Twitter and get his daughter to the game for free.
Make this happen.
Yep. Yes. Shoot your shot, as they say. Get out there on social media. Let the Blazers know you want to go to that game for free 99.
I bet if you put together a video on Twitter where you got dressed up in some really cool 2000s clothes with
that.
Something, some good 2000s music playing in the background asking for this, you tag at Trailblazers, you might have a chance. Give it a shot.
And you never know.
That's
like,
a great idea.
That is a great idea. And, like, I ripped on the game a little bit on the opponent. But I went to the Blazers-Warriors game on a Monday night this year, and Damian Lillard dropped 61 points. So yeah, you never know what you may see. And it was one of the more fun games the Blazers have had this year. Orlando asked me if I got paid to go to the game when it started.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And at the end of it, he was jealous I was there. So get there. You never know what will happen.
It's fun to go to a Blazers game and watch them win.
Yeah.
They might actually win that game, so.
Rarely is Nate right, but when he is, he nails it like that last comment.
Thank you.
Jared, how can people get in touch with us if they have listener questions that they want to send in?
Yeah, you can reach out to us via email. Just go to 3on3blazers@gmail.com. We also send out requests for you to send in your questions on Twitter, and you can tweet at us at any time during the week. We'll store those questions away if you want.
Especially after games. Like, that's the time when you have a lot on your mind. Let it rip.
Yep. So you can find me on Twitter at Jared Cowley.
At Orlando KGW.
At NHands_KGW.
And I am at Max N Barr. Speaking of letting it rip. Great to be back.
You know what that music means, gentlemen.
I used to enjoy that music.
You know what that means.
It used to bring positive, great feelings, memories, and now?
Now you're shattered.
Ugh.
Look, I get pretty hyped. I'm not going to lie.
Me too.
I see Max is on my side. Yep, there we go. Yep. You and Jared are always together. At least I got Max on my side right now.
Guys, it's great to be back with another week of Rip It. Nate's dominant season continued with another win last week.
It's up to five, my friends.
Ugh.
The question is, will anyone else even win a game this season?
Oh, wow. How did we get to this point, guys?
I don't know. You hate to see it.
It's beyond me.
What was that line that you used from Friends? How is this over?
And why is it?
Why
would you use Friends against us at a time like this?
Jared brought it up earlier, man. I'm just throwing it right back at him.
Really quick, do you guys like Friends as a show?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Definitely.
Max?
It's all right.
Yeah.
Not my favorite.
Love it.
It's not The Office, but it's a good show. Anyway, let's move on.
Wow, that was a quick
sidebar.
I was just curious. You brought up the question. You're like, okay, let's move on after like 2 seconds.
Well, you answered the question, so.
Great show. Love it.
Let's find out how you did last week. We are going back to Blazers versus Spurs. The question for this game was, who will finish with the most assists?
Oh.
CJ, DeJounte Murray, or Derek White? Orlando, you declared, I'm done with CJ on Rip It.
I did.
Ouch. Ouch. Wow.
Bold.
CJ, I hope you're listening and hear that.
So you went with Derek White. Jared, you went with DeJounte Murray. And Nate, you said CJ and said, if CJ wins it, it will be so good.
So good. Like Sweet Caroline. So good.
CJ won it.
Oh, yeah.
CJ still, man.
That's what I'm saying.
I knew too. I'm like, CJ is going to have a career week. Thank you, Rip It.
CJ is only there for Nate.
CJ,
what's up?
6 assists for CJ.
Man.
DeJounte Murray with 5. Derek White with 3.
Oh, man.
Murray had 5.
CJ McCollum.
This stings, man. This really does.
Dude, you and CJ need to have a talk next time you're in that locker room, man.
I know, man.
You need to be like, hey, we play this ridiculous game, and you are killing me on it.
All right, next game was Blazers at Jazz. Ugh.
Tell them I say hi and that I love them.
This was who will make the most three-pointers in the game, Donovan Mitchell, CJ, or Joe Ingles?
Oh, I think I got this wrong.
Jared and Nate went with Ingles, Jingle and Joe, and Orlando, you went with Donovan Mitchell because, you know, you were still done with CJ.
Yeah.
CJ got this one.
Oh, I should have gone with CJ again.
CJ was 5-for-10 from three in this game.
Oh, no, Orlando.
Ingles was 3-for-5. Mitchell, 1-for-5.
Oh, Ingles hit three. Man. He did better than I thought he did.
Yeah, pretty good showing from Joe. But CJ got it, so nobody got that question.
Oh, man, Orlando.
I'm not surprised either.
Dude. Well, then you should have picked him.
It still hurts, though.
It could be a curse at this point.
You jumped off the bandwagon,
man. The CJ curse.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're still flowing along in Bazemore Island.
Ugh.
Should have been hanging out in McCollum Cove.
It's dangerous, McCollum Cove.
Yeah, sure is.
All right, Blazers versus Heat. Question for this game, who will score the most points between Hassan Whiteside, Bam Adebayo, or Goran Dragic?
Oh, no. I think Jared got it.
Jared and Orlando went with the Dragon.
Oh, yes. No, you guys suck.
Dragic.
He was awesome.
And Nate, you went with Bam.
Yeah, not quite.
Who finished in second because Dragic had 27 points.
Ugh.
Bam with 13, Whiteside 11.
I remember.
I knew I could count on the Dragon.
I remember Jared's reasoning for that stuff. Ended up playing out was he thought if Jimmy Butler doesn't play, someone's going to score, and it's going to be Dragic. And sure enough.
He was right. Yeah.
He scores a lot off the bench always, but I think he had more minutes in that game.
Yep, good call by Jared. Next game, Blazers.
And Orlando.
Well, yeah. Blazers at the Pelicans.
That was dismissive.
Speaking of good calls, this was over under 20 points for Zion Williamson.
Oh, please say it went over.
Jared went over. Orlando and Nate went under.
No!
Yeah! Orlando, this is when you were touting Ariza as the Zion stopper. This was a career high for Zion. 31 points.
Wow.
Dominant. Yeah.
I can't believe I said under.
I know.
Yeah, I was surprised that you guys both went under.
Yep, I was surprised as well. Nate, you said they were gonna Pelicans were going to win, but under. So,
Jared, they got half of that right.
Jared got that one. And this is our final question from the
right now.
Jared's got two.
I have two, and you guys both have one, right?
Correct.
That's right.
Man.
Oh, Jared has a chance.
Oh,
Jared has a chance.
I got a chance.
Come on, Jared.
I have a different answer. I remember this question. I remember our answers being different.
Jared. Question for the Grizzlies game was how many Grizzlies will score in double figures against the Blazers? Mm. Jared and Orlando both said 5. Nate, you said 4.
Oh, man.
So in this game, we had rookie Brandon Clark
lead
the way with 27 points. Nate, you called that one. You said he was going to be in double figures.
That's one.
We had Ja Morant, another rookie, dropped 20.
Two.
We had Jonas Valanciunas.
Oh, no. I'm
screwed. Jonas.
12 points.
Oh, no. Oh,
also,
no.
Off the bench, De'Anthony Melton with 12.
Melton. I'm in trouble.
And Oregon Duck Dylan Brooks with 11.
Darn
That's it.
It.
5.
Oh, no.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Which means
say it. Say it.
Which
it's
means
over.
Jared has one rip it.
Yes! Give me that pen. Give me that pen. Give me that pen.
Oh, take your pie. Take your pie.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Orlando.
He just hit me with two pies.
Can I have my pie back?
Wait, you stole Max's pie, too.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yes. I took any pie within arm's reach.
The drought is over.
Yeah. Congrats to Jared. He is on the board once again.
Thank you for saving us.
Jared, your thoughts?
It's all over. Sorry, Nate. The comeback is on.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Blazers, playoffs.
Okay.
Confirmed.
Blazers. This has nothing to do with you.
Do you guys remember what happened?
Oh, you just reminded me that you even said that.
Do you guys remember what happened in the Rip It playoffs last year?
Yeah, you did.
I was dead, and I came all the way back.
Yep.
So he's not over.
He's right.
It is not over.
He's right. But we are running.
Oh, man.
We are running out of weeks.
This is exactly what I need.
But we got another one right now.
I felt like I won today. Oh, my
gosh. Oh, man.
I'm already.
Oh, this is. Oh.
I can't believe you threw two pies at me.
Look, I see why Jared goes for the cherry pie.
It's so good.
Yeah. It is very good. Yeah. This is consoling me as we speak right now.
All right. Well, while you are drowning your sorrows in cherry pie, let's get to this week's game. What do you say?
Oh, yes, we have a game this week?
We do.
Oh, man.
Guys, it's All-Star Weekend.
Nice.
And that means it's time for one of my favorites, the All-Star edition of Rip It.
Oh, man.
Oh,
bravo.
Good.
Unfortunately, yeah, really since Dame is injured, no Blazers are going to be involved, but that doesn't matter.
No.
And we are going to start Friday night with the Rising Stars game between Team U.S. and Team World.
How is Anthony Simons not in this, guys?
That's a good question. So the question here is, who's going to win the game between Team U.S. and Team World? If you need a little help, I got the rosters that I can quickly go through
like
for
you. Give us the top couple on each.
All right, so on Team U.S., we've got Miles Bridges, Devontae Graham, and P.J. Washington from the Hornets. We've got Jaren Jackson Jr., Ja Morant from the Grizz, Kendrick Nunn, Eric Pascal, Colin Sexton, Zion, and Trae Young.
Oh, so, yeah, that's a good team.
Team World.
He left the best ones there at the end.
Yeah. Team World, we've got Nikhil Alexander-Walker, RJ Barrett, Brandon Clark, Luka, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Rui Hachimura, Svi Mykhailiuk from the Pistons, Josh Okogie, Mo Wagner, and Nicolo Melli.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always like these games. Oh, there's no defense at whatsoever, but.
Will you pick against your boy, Luka?
No, that's what, like, I think the U.S. team is better. But, and also, I don't know how, like, focused Luka's going to be on this game, because he's actually in, you know, the big game.
That's right.
On Sunday.
Yep. As is Trae Young. As
is also, he's back, but he's banged up. You know, he just came back from injury.
So what do you think?
I'm going to go with old Cherry Pie and Team USA.
All right. As American as Cherry Pie.
Yeah.
Orlando, what do you think?
I'm picking against the U.S.
Okay.
Yeah, baby.
Jared?
I'm going to go with Team World.
All right. I like it. Next question. We're moving to All-Star Saturday night. Who will win the three-point contest? And in case you need a reminder, we've got Davis Bertans, Devontae Graham, Joe Harris, who won it last year, Buddy Hield, Zach LaVine, Devin Booker, who's Lillard's replacement, Duncan Robinson, and Trae Young.
Do they usually have that many people? That seemed like a lot of people.
Yeah, I think there's usually eight.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Dame's replacement, Devin Booker.
Nice.
Okay. Orlando, you got a pick?
Yeah, last year, I think I went with Buddy. So I'm going to double down on him. Let's try Buddy Hield. Redemption tour.
All right.
He's going to be my new guy.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Devontae Graham. That guy lights it up, man.
Oh, no one's picking the defending champ.
Yeah.
No way.
All right. Next question. Who will win the All-Star game, Team LeBron or Team Giannis?
Give me Team Giannis.
Whoa. Really?
Yep. I think, Nate, that means you're going with Team LeBron?
Yeah.
Orlando?
Like, his draft was so much better than Giannis's?
What do you think?
Team LeBron.
Okay.
Wow, Jared, you stunned me.
Next question from the
good
same game.
He likes defense, dude. There's a lot of good defensive players on that team.
Well,
that's
guess,
for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, well, at least I can make up a rip-it win on him really quickly here. Making picks like that.
Here's a little bit of a wrinkle on that question. Will the All-Star Game MVP be a player from the Western Conference or from the Eastern Conference?
I'm going to go Eastern Conference. Giannis is going to get MVP this year.
Ooh. All right.
I'm going to go LeBron has a lot of guys from the West, so I'm going to go with the Western Conference because Team LeBron's going to win.
Okay. Orlando, what do you think?
Ditto.
Same thing? All right. The wild card question of the week.
Ooh. Man. How many players will score in double figures?
That's actually a good idea. I didn't think about that. No, this is who will win the slam dunk contest.
Oh, no.
We did this last year. Nobody got it right.
Who even won it last year?
Hamadou Diallo
won last year. Yeah. Of course we did. We remembered that.
This year's contestant.
Is he in it this year?
He is not.
Oh, what?
He is not defending his title.
That should be like a requirement. If you win, you have to be in it next year unless you're hurt.
Well, this year we've got Aaron Gordon, Derek Jones Jr., a.k.a. Airplane Mode, Pat Connaughton, former Blazer, and Dwight Howard.
Superman
is in the building. That's a pretty good competition. There's some names there. At least guys we've recognized.
Before. How many people do you think are going to watch the slam dunk contest on Saturday night and be like, who is Pat Connaughton?
A lot.
Yeah. A lot. Yeah.
A lot.
So what do you guys think?
See, I'm tempted to actually pick Dwight Howard because I think that the judges will kind of boost his scores because he's Dwight Howard and they're easily swayed. I'm going to go with Dwight Howard.
Sounds like Jared's saying there's collusion or rigged or something here with the slam dunk contest.
I read an oral history of the Jordan Dominique contest.
Okay.
Back in 88. And it was awesome. And it reminded me of how the dunk contest actually used to be cool and hasn't been that way for a long time.
You know what there weren't? You know what weren't in those dunk contests?
Cars.
Props.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't stand the
props.
Just and I got a feeling Howard is going to have a ton of those.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
He's done it before. He's done some cool ones with props, but I'm not a fan of props. Orlando, what do you think?
I like Dwight as well. I think Dwight's winning it.
Oh. Well, this is, gentlemen.
Well, Lando's going with Dwight.
I know. Gentlemen, this is where I win Rip It victory number six is right here and right now because I'm going with Aaron Gordon.
That's a good pick.
Give me
him for the
slam dunk competition.
Here's my dark horse that won't count, but
Pat Connaughton?
No, Derek Jones.
Okay. Is Pat Connaughton like, I'm sure there are odds in terms of who will win. He's got to be at have the longest shot, I would imagine.
I don't know for sure, but I Aaron Gordon, I would think, is the favorite.
Probably.
And then I got to think Dwight's probably the longest shot, but I don't know.
I think those two have put on a show when they've been in it. So I think it's going to be fun. But, yeah, to your point, there's going to be props all over the place.
And the thing with, like, Dwight, like, you think back to some of his dunks. I mean, it was like blowing off a candle on a
No, that cupcake. that was Gerald Green.
Oh, that was
Gerald
Green.
He had the Superman cape.
Yeah.
He came out of a phone booth.
I mean, he can do all that same stuff now. He doesn't have to do, like, super amazing acrobatic dunks, and the judges are going to eat it up.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yep. We'll see.
Aaron Gordon's just going to wow him too much, man. Just like how I've overwhelmed you and Rip It this season.
Well, not anymore, Jared. Jared's back.
The streak is over. We got pie. This turned out to be a much better podcast.
This pie is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still think you were fake by saying the Blazers are making the playoffs.
Book it, baby.
We'll talk about that more next week.
Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a 5-star review.